You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Alvaro Quiroz makes it a magnificent seven with victory at the Rocco Forte Open at Badura Golf and Spa.
I'm very happy. You know, at the end, the result is in my favour, which is the most important thing. A little bit bitter, I have to say, because the final few holes I haven't played as good as I want. But, you know, I'm happy. Victory.
And we'll speak exclusively to the Spaniard later in the show. Quiroz held off the challenge from South Africa's Xander Lombard, who came up just short in a nail-biting playoff.
Yeah, I can't complain. I gave it a chance. Losing a playoff, you know, it's anybody's game with this wind. I think I had a great putt. The wind just kept it out. And, yeah, I'm pleased.
A full review of the action from Sicily to come. Plus, we'll preview the inaugural event in the new Rolex series, the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and this week I'm joined by a man who knows what it's like to taste European Tour trinkets.
Well,
you win, Richard, the Italian Open all those years ago.
Well, it was a long time ago. Way back in 1990 now. Time is moving on, 56 years of age now. But
it's still burned in there, though, like it was done with a branding iron.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved every minute of it. You know what it's like. You've done it yourself.
Yes, more than one occasion.
Twice, unfortunately.
Anyway, let's not dwell on that.
No, let's not.
The Rocco Forte Open in Sicily. Of course, they played that before, Richard.
They have, yeah. It's the first time I'd actually seen it visually on the TV. I was watching it yesterday and a few days beforehand. Looks a really nice spot. I mean, it's one of those courses right on the edge of the coast there that can obviously get a lot of breeze. And in the situation that was there for the final round, I think if you're behind, Robert, and quite a long way behind, you wanted a fair bit of breeze on the final day or two.
So it was as you wanted it?
Yeah, I did. Well, if you're a player, if you understand what I'm playing, you're behind. It's the kind of course where lots of mistakes can be made coming down the final nine.
Of course, the winner, Alvaro Quiroz, career going in the wrong direction after having six wins on the European Tour and struggling for a position on tour even. That's hard to imagine a player as good as he is. But there was a little sign, wasn't it, at the end of the previous week when he shot 65 in the final round, that maybe he was on the cusp of something.
Yeah, starting to play well again. It was about time. I mean, I had Alvaro down for about 15, 20 wins by now in his career, the way he started off. He whipped those six wins in, you know, very consistently. And with his last one being the DP World Tour Championship. I mean, you know, magnificent field, obviously, you got there and played
magnificent three-wood to the last green, if you remember that.
What a memory you have for your age, Robert.
Off a hanging lie.
Remarkable.
Hanging lie, three-wood.
Yeah.
Water tight left and smashed it straight on the green.
Why wouldn't you?
Yes. Quite a handsome lead he'd built up after three good days, Alvaro. Yeah. Five-shot lead going into the final round. And it improved from there in the early part of the final round.
It did, yeah. He eventually got to... He was seven ahead after six holes. And then had a couple of holes that were into the breeze, dropped a shot and dropped a shot, you know, had a couple of bogeys, a double bogey coming home, and got to the point where he was eventually level, you know. And who would have thought that he'd have to hole, Robert, from about 15, 16 feet on the final hole to force a playoff?
Well, I mean, you've gone quickly through the back nine.
I have,
I'd like
go
to
back.
Go back before we get to that crucial thing, because with a bit of toing and froing between Lombard particularly and Alvaro on that front nine, he still had a four-shot lead going into the back nine. That's not done and dusted.
No, it isn't. Not when there's a lot of breeze about.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Robert, a four-shot lead, you know what it's like. One birdie to one bogey is only two in it.
Yeah.
And two is not a lot, is it? Sorry about running ahead of the running order there. But,
yeah.
You know, I didn't look at it.
It's
I didn't
just
read
excitement.
It.
I think it's come across. You know, I think people will realise that, how excited you get.
I get very excited.
Yeah, but there were mistakes from both players coming down the stretch.
Yeah, there were a bit of wayward driving. But, Robert, you listened to Jamie Spence, and who was doing the on-course commentary out there with John Morgan. It was blowing a gale. Mm. It was really difficult. You know, you needed a little bit of luck downwind, especially if you're coming out of rough. You know what it's like. You know, you're coming out of rough, and then you can only really pitch it on a sixpence. A lot of people won't remember a sixpence.
No, that's
right. Or pence.
A threepenny bit.
Yeah, I remember those as well. Like, they're actually new pound coins again.
Well, they're 12-sided, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Dodecahedron, I think it's like that.
Excellent word. Yeah, so you needed a bit of luck.
Yeah, Quiroz double at 16.
Well, he must have wanted his mummy at that point, I would have thought. You know, I want to go back and start again. I think, listen, when you've got a big lead, there's only one thing you can do is mess it up. I mean, I obviously won't harp back, but, you know, I did have a five-shot lead going at the final round in Italy, and all you can do is lose from there. Or you can win, obviously, but I mean, you know, it's you lose from there. That could be a career wrecker.
Well, they both bogeyed 17, all square.
Yeah, they did.
Still all square, going up the last.
Yeah, and I thought that Pep Angles, is that the right pronunciation?
Perfect.
I know you're at Pep Angles. He was a beautiful little chip in from him on the 17th to sort of get into the equation.
Yeah.
And then the last hole, I mean, it was pure adrenaline for Kyrgios. I think he hit a sand iron into the last hole, I think. Anyway, he went too long. But then the ball took one bounce and semi-plugged in the back traps. So I thought he was completely gone there. Lombard played a beautiful little chip from the right-hand side.
Yep.
Absolutely stone dead. And then, as I say, as I got to a little bit earlier, Robert, rolled it in from 15 feet. Angles had to hold his bunker shot and didn't get close with it.
And then Alvaro had to make a, what, 4-footer?
No, 15-foot, I reckon. 15-footer to get in the playoff. Lombard had one. Lombard had
I'm thinking of the playoff,
inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had one from about under a foot, Lombard, for his par. And Kyrgios came out of the bunker and had about a good 15 feet to a little bit of left to right on it to basically to force the playoff because he saw where Xander Lombard was and duly knocked it in.
So do you think Kyrgios had time, although he'd not played the golf he wanted to in the final round, he had time to reset because now at least he'd made the playoff?
Yes, probably a bit of time to reset. I think he would have been pretty unhappy with the way he played, to be quite honest, in the final round. I don't think he'd be overly impressed. What did he shoot in the final round? I think it was 3 over, was it? Or
73.
2 over, then past 71. So he wouldn't have been too happy with that. And I listened to him interviewed afterwards, and he was just saying, he said, I'm not... wasn't happy with the way I played, but, you know, a win is a win, he said, and that's what I needed.
Oh, it's absolutely massive for him. First playoff hole, both men parred. Back down the 18th
back
again.
Down, both decent drives away, and Lombard with his second shot was quite a long way from the hole and came up about, I'd say he was about 6-7 feet short. They got a camera view of him from behind the hole, you know, it's sort of him putting towards the hole. And unfortunately, he just completely closed the club face on it, shut it down and pulled it left. One of those ones that was never really going to go in.
And how long was Alvarez's putt?
About 2 feet, I'd say.
Well, so it still
had to be done.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, for him, that two-footer opens up a world of golf for him.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. It was. I think it's nice to see him back.
Definitely.
See him back playing. I'd like to ask him, you know, what the lull was all about.
You'll get your chance, Richard.
I will.
You will get your chance. A bit of social media reaction. Danny Willett said, well done, Alvaro. Great putt under pressure. Pablo Larrazábal, Alvaro Kyrgios is back in the winner's circle. Congrats to him and to his family. You are back. And Ricardo Gouveia, who was on social media last week as well, said, so happy for Alvaro Kyrgios. Just shows that hard work takes care of business. Well done, my friend. So, you know, a lot of players felt his pain, Richard.
Well, a lot of players have been through his pain, haven't they, as well? I don't know whether they've won as many tournaments as him, but he was a multiple yearly winner, I thought he was going to be. And then something, you know what it's like, Robert, something gets in that 6 inches of grey matter and it gets hold of you.
Yeah, well, we'll ask him when we get to talk to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know he overcomplicated things. Let's ask him, shall we?
Let's.
Yeah. I'm delighted to say we're now joined by the man himself on the line, Alvaro Kyrgios, the latest winner on the European Tour. What was it like, Alvaro, for you? Congratulations, first of all, and how did you celebrate?
Well, to be honest, I haven't made nothing special. I have dinner with Ricardo González and his caddy this week. I mean, it was a difficult thing. You know, everybody was trying to catch the plane for the next tournament. So it was a very quiet and nice dinner.
So what was going through your head, Alvaro? You know, you're going to the final round 5 shots ahead, and then all of a sudden you're 7 shots ahead after 6 holes. Did you think it was done and dusted?
No, to be honest, you know, I didn't even have idea about how many shots or leading shots I had back then because I wasn't even watching the leaderboard. So for me, wasn't a different thing that moment from the last of the round. Obviously, on 17, I watched the leaderboard and I knew that I was closer. I mean, or they were closer to me, and the situation changed a little bit, but first time that I ever saw the leaderboard on Sunday was on 17 green.
Alvaro, we spent quite a bit of time, you and I, chatting about what you were doing wrong or how you could make things better, and it seemed like things were very complicated. Had you found a way to make things simpler?
Well, obviously, the first step was to start hitting the ball better and start to have a little bit more confidence in my swing. That means that I recovered a little bit the knowledge about what my swing can do and what could be a possible mistake or not. And obviously, this situation is not going to really change my swing or my way to swing golf from one day to another, but clearly proves that I'm a little bit closer to be in the proper track.
And I know you said how good it felt, Alro, but for 6 years, it's been quite a barren run for you. You must have felt this was, or did you? Maybe you felt this was coming. Maybe you thought it would never come again. Which one was it?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, for 5 years on tour, I was able to have six victories. It was kind of an easy thing. At least to shoot low was something easy. Maybe not to shoot four good rounds, but to shoot a one round good or a couple of good rounds was easy. And sadly, for the last 6 years, I'm being stuck without being able even to shoot lower par, even one round. So it's been a little bit of a mess this time because I lost a little bit the belief, the faith on how I should be able to come back. But again, you know, I've been with new people on board now. My team is with different people, and that helps to see their point of view.
Yeah, the great thing, Alro, for you is with the uncertainty with your career, now all of a sudden, with four good days, you have certainty. You know you're in a winner's category again. You know where you can play. And this year, Alro, and starting this week, by the way, just in a few days' time, the first Rolex Series event. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a shame. Golf could be very cruel. Because I've been for 10 years in the European Tour, all this year playing with exemption. But at the same time, the only first year that I have lost my card was the only first year that I need my exemption. At the same time, I didn't really have a lot of chances to play on the main tour by invitations. You know, the tournaments that I played were basically the tournaments that I have won before, even when that category has disappeared too. So looks like everything was a little bit complicated, sadly. But yes, you're right. I mean, the timing of this victory is a very important thing because I still having, I would say, a lovely season to play, a nice schedule. So you never know. Maybe this is a proper way to come back, to a nice comeback.
So all that done and dusted with Wentworth coming up this week. What are your aims now for the rest of the season, Alvaro?
I mean, I would like to say that my target this season is going to recover little by little the game. What I mean with this is naturality, the belief, the self-confidence that is necessary to compete at the highest level. About the scores, to be honest, I can't say anything because I don't really know. Wentworth has changed a lot. I'm going to arrive on Tuesday night, so I'm going to be able to play the Pro-Am, and that's all. I don't know if he's going to have enough time to see the new changes and adjust to the golf course. But at least now I have a little bit more of air, you know, to still working on it without the, you know, the pressure of need to play better to come back to the tour, you know.
So with your newfound simplicity and way of playing, back to the Alvaro, the style of Alvaro, is that what you're going to leave alone now and just go out there and play golf?
No, I'm still having a lot of room to improve. Obviously and clearly, these last 6 years they have shown me that sometimes it's not worth it to still work. No, I'm still working, but still looking for something that maybe it doesn't exist. So maybe it's time to take what I have and try to squeeze that without looking for nothing else.
Well, Alvaro, thanks very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. As you can imagine, Richard and myself, absolutely thrilled for you, as are all people in the European Tour family, because you were fantastic, then you lost your way, and now you are back, and we're looking forward to the rest of the Alvaro Quiroz career. We'll see you at Wentworth.
Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure.
So, some Alvaro Quiroz stats. This win comes 109 events after his last win at the Dubai World Championship in 2011.
You could have had some good money on that. That would have won you a fair bit of money to say that he won't win for 109 events. You would never have had that. I had him down as a winner about every sort of 15, 20 times.
Well, you know, especially with the style that he won that one.
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah, I mean, you spoke about that hanging three that he hit the last hole. I mean, he was...
Golf is fickle, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a brutal
thing. It's fickle, it is. It's the second time Quiroz has won an event in which he made a hole-in-one. He did that at the Dubai Desert Classic back in 2011 as well. That was the first time he did it. Second time coming at the Rocco Forte. We just played that one, and it was in round one at the 191-yard 13th. And no vehicle for him.
No, that's unusual, isn't it? In especially on holes right like around about the 13th. You can understand it maybe on the front nine, but back nine, no. Well, there you go. Anyway, in a good move also, Robert, 703rd in the world rankings, down to 237th.
That's
now.
The great thing when you've made no progress over a length of time. Then when you do something, you've made massive jumps.
Big, huge leaps, yeah.
And that's crucial for him.
You know, 237 is still a long way off the top 50 of the world rankings, but that's obviously where he was once and where he's aiming to get back.
But the big prize, Richard, is his playing rights now for the rest of the year and next year.
Just, well, you can just totally plan, can't you? You're exempt, yeah. You can plan, you can play in what you want, what you think you should be playing in. You know, it's the situation you've been in it, Rob, I've been in it, where when you can't plan, that's awful. You just have to go where you're told, and that's doesn't work. You're going one way and thinking you should be going the other way.
Well, he was on very limited.
He was very limited.
He was back on the Challenge Tour.
Yeah.
That's where he was,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a massive drop.
It's tough. Golf is a very tough game, and it's exacting. You post your card and your score, and nobody can argue with you because that's what you've done and that's what you get for it. And if you don't do it, you can slide down the rankings, which he'd done. But now he's climbing up in the right direction. And I do think that there's a lot left in the career of Álvaro Quirós, no doubt about that. Let's hear from the man who lost out in the playoffs, Xander Lombard. The South African says it was a great week despite just missing out on the win.
Yeah, I'm very happy with how I kept myself in contention. And all the best for Álvaro. He's a great champion. He's won in the past, and it's nice to see him win again. And yeah, very pleased with the performance going on to next week and hopefully keep his form.
Yeah, as you were saying about next week, runners-up prize getting into Wentworth. That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, it's a good consolation prize. I suppose winning's everything. But yeah, I can't complain. I gave it a chance. Losing in a playoff, you know, it's anybody's game with this win. I think I had a great putt. The wind just kept it out. And yeah, I'm pleased.
It seems like every country now has got a bunch of young players that seem to be unafraid.
Well, South Africa got some great players. I've spent a fair bit of time down there over the last few years. You know, you've got Dean Burmester, Brandon Stone, who's tournament winners, Christian Besaidenhout. How's that for pronunciation as well?
I would say, I think you're on a run that's unequalled in your career.
Dylan Fratelli, another good player as well.
Yeah, so, you know, again, League of Nations, but the youngsters are very strong. Third place went to China's Li Hao Tong, whose 13 under par finish was aided by an albatross at the par 5 12th.
Yeah, I think I just want a second shot of 5 iron and I just want to get on a green 2 putt, like make an easy birdie. And after hit, I saw some clap on the green and just like very little, you know, and I saw pretty close or something. And when I walked to there, can't believe I was in, and still got a little clap.
He's quite the character, you know, Li Hao Tong.
He's another one who's got a very good sense of humour.
Yeah, I mean, in a second language. I mean, we're not talking Spanish to English, we're talking Chinese to English.
What exactly? Can you imagine
us going... It's like a quantum leap.
Can you imagine us going the other way?
Yes.
Wouldn't be very good, would it?
No.
He very nearly got on the bus, Gus, you know, to go back and leave the course when he was at 13 under. Golf clubs were coming on and off the bus, you know, where the players get on to go back
to the airport. My work's done sort
clubs
of thing.
Clubs on, clubs off.
Yeah,
he
wasn't.
They started dropping shots, you know, Quirós and Lombard down the last few holes, and he hung around and, well, eventually didn't
one
quite
shot
do
away.
It. One shot away in the end.
Yeah, really good young player, Li Hao Tong. A lot to come from him in the coming months, no doubt about that. Álvaro Quirós wasn't the only Spaniard to do well in Italy because Pep Anglès finished fourth on 12 under par, his highest finish of the year. So how does he reflect on his week?
Really good. It's been a little bit of up and downs these last 2 months. So I'm proud that my game is back. I've been doing the right things and it just needed to click. And it looked like it started to doing so this week. So yeah, I'm pleased.
What are the key points for you this week?
Well, just getting myself in contention. I need to start doing that more often and learn from the experience. And keep going, keep working on it, and it'll turn on a win hopefully soon.
Just at the right time, we've talked about it the last few weeks. If you can find some form before you get into the bulk of the European summer, it's a great time to feel good about yourself.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got the Irish, the Scottish, the French, the Open Championship coming up. A lot of big tournaments, and it clicked well for him. You know, he was never worse than 70. 69 was his best score. Opened up with 69, finished with 69, 66 and 68 in the middle. So clickety-click. Well, not, yes, 66, clickety-click. There you go, Rob. Click.
Yeah, very consistent week for Pep, and lots to look forward to with those Rolex series events as well.
Yeah.
Top 10 from the Rocco Forte Open, please.
Okay, in reverse order, obviously, Robert. Tied 8th, 9th and 10th was Marcel Sion, Mark Foster and Julien Guerrier, into a bit of French there. David Horsey was 7th, tied 5th and 6th was Jason Scrivener, Marcus Fraser, a couple of Australians there. Pep Anglès, 12 under par, finished 4th. 3rd was Li Hao Tong. Xander Lombard at 14 under with Álvaro Quirós. Quirós winning at the second extra hole.
And remember to go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from Sicily, as well as other great social media content. That's a really good event in that part of Italy, and well, the players really enjoyed it. And now, let's just dwell on the tips. I went for Sebastian Groh, a very impressive ball-striking Frenchman, didn't have his best week, missed the cut. Jamie Spence went for Raphael Jacquelin, the old French warhorse, inside the top 20, tied 18th. So roundly beaten by young Spence on this occasion.
Yours was well, your tip was well back, Robert. Yeah, I missed the cut. Was
now,
only 50
you know,
seconds.
I like to go for I met him in a lift or I saw him get on the plane or it's there's some, why did I meet that person at that time? And quite often I think, oh, I should have picked him because I.
Yeah, listen, I find the other strange thing, whether it's true or not, I don't know, Robert, but when you turn up at a golf tournament, or when I turn up at golf, it's funny enough, the very first pro I see, for some reason, like you were chatting about earlier, seems to do well that week.
There you are, you see. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm going off to Wentworth today.
Today?
Yeah.
So keep an eye on the first person you see.
Yeah, I will. I'll let you know the first pro.
Phone it through.
Phone it through, Roberto.
In the fancy race to Dubai game, Sean Heaslip scored the most points this week. His side amassed over 500,000 points after choosing Alvaro Quiroz as captain and also including runner-up Xander Lombard in his lineup. Mark Hyben still leads the overall global standings. Meanwhile, in our very own Race to Dubai show mini-league, the Sean Ryder Cup, Ollie Neen registered the most points this week, but Neil Morrison still leads the way at the top of the table. Head to europeantour.com for the Fantasy 3 to watch at the BMW PGA Championship, the first Rolex Series event of 2017. Top 10, Richard, please, in the Race to Dubai standings.
In the Race to Dubai standings are Fabrizio Zanotti, a Paraguayan. He's 10th. 9th is Rory McIlroy. Thomas Peters is 8th. 7th is Charles Schwartzel. Ross Fisher is nearly in the top 5. He's 6th. Bernd Wiesberger is 5th. 4th is Justin Rose. John Rahm, the Spaniard, fantastic player. He is. He's 3rd. 2nd is Tommy Fleetwood. And leading the way is Sergio Garcia.
And in other news, Aaron Ryan has secured his second European Challenge Tour victory of the season after beating Ireland's Gavin Moynihan 2-1 in the final of the Andalucía Costa del Sol match play 9. The Englishman, who also won the season-opening Barclays Kenya Open, came through 3 9-hole match play fixtures on the final day at La Cala Resort to claim his second title in 4 starts on the 2017 Road to Oman. That's one more win away from getting straight onto tour.
It is, yeah. You get, as you say, 3 of those, you're straight onto the tour. And I'll tell you what, Robert, 2 out of 4, that can happen pretty quick. Very good player.
Isn't that a great incentive, though?
Yeah, massive, brilliant.
You know,
fantastic.
You win three, and if you win 3 times, you are.
I know it was the tour's idea, but whose idea was it? Have you any idea?
I could be wrong. I think it was mine. And on to the PGA Tour, Billy Horschel has claimed his 4th title with a playoff win over world number 3 Jason Day at the AT&T Byron Nelson event in Texas. Both men finished on 12 under par, with Horschel parring the first playoff hole as Day unusually missed a short par putt to hand the American his first win since 2014. So Billy Horschel, another player, very gifted, Richard, but yeah. Hot and cold.
Yeah, quite streaky. I'm still not getting over your last little article you read about, you know, the Road to Oman, 3 wins and you're on the tour, and it was your idea.
I'm sure it was mine. So well done to Billy Horschel. Top 10 the world rankings, please, Rich.
Okay. Ricky Fowler is 10th. 9th is Justin Rose. Then you've got Adam Scott in 8th. Jordan Spieth is 7th. 6th is Sergio Garcia. 5th is Henrik Stenson. Hideki Matsuyama is 4th. 3rd is Jason Day. Rory McIlroy is in 2nd. And Dustin Johnson leads the way in the world rankings.
Now, the next stop in the European Tour is a massive one. It's the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. It's the first event in the new Rolex series with a share of $7 million in prize money up for grabs. That will get the attention of the players grinding on the range until Thursday morning. Don't worry about that. And remember, we're going to be broadcasting live on-course commentary for all 4 days of the championship. You can listen to live at European Tour Radio on the europeantour.com website, the official European Tour app, and on the TuneIn app as well. So, Richard, you must be looking forward to it, particularly with the metamorphosis of Wentworth as it continues to change and be evolving into a first-class venue.
Metamorphosis, that's a long word, Robert.
Long,
even though
it?
I'm old now, 56, that's still a long word. Do you mean about the changes?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a series of changes at Wentworth to improve things, make it tougher, what have you.
Yeah.
And now they've had mixed reactions, it's fair to say that, but the recent changes from all the people I've spoken to are all raving about it.
Well, I'm going to go and have a look. It was one of the courses I used to play quite a lot when I was a young kid growing up playing golf. And I obviously liked it how it was in the old days, but times move on and things change.
What's your favourite memory of the BMW PGA?
I think one of my favourite memories is when Seve went to hit his second shot of the 17th and he had to try and draw it round the corner. I think he was leading, but somebody moved in the crowd. And it was the day when the crowd was allowed on the fairway.
Yeah.
And he just turned around to me and said, listen, he said, could you stand still, please? He said, I know you're nervous, he said, but I am too. And that, to me, that was a great moment. That.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because you used to have the BMW PGA Championship there and also the match play, the world match plays that were there. So you saw Wentworth twice a year.
I used to love it. And, you know, it all, for us, you know, in the early days of TV, Robert, it all started from around about the 12th. That's all you really saw in, was the 12th. You were lucky if you could get a camera out to a playoff hole like the first or something like that. But I remember the early days, it was great. I used to go down there and watch Gary Player and Graham Marsh and all that when it was Piccadilly World match play.
Well, the early days, it was always a birdie-birdie finish, 17 and 18. You thought you could finish with two birdies. And then that, with the way they redesigned 17, it took away the excitement a little bit. And I believe with the redesign, they're trying to put that back.
Yeah, I think some of them were quite different. 17 was a tough one. 16's a tough one to get anything close at all.
Yeah, I mean, 16 and 17, there never were greens, really. And I believe they've been suitably softened.
What are these? There's four greens, the 8th, 11th, 14th and 16th. They've all been completely rebuilt. And then you've got five greens, the 3rd, the 4th, 5th and 12th. And 15th have been partially rebuilt. So there's going to be lots of change. All the bunkers have been redesigned, reconstructed. 29 bunkers have been completely removed from the whole course. And I think they shallowed them out a little bit as well.
It's going to be great, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to having getting another buggy and coming round. Do you want to come round with me this afternoon?
I'm going to think about that one.
All right.
But it's very kind of you.
Pleasure.
I like the way you thought of me, but I'm going to think about that. Does it suit a certain type of player? I mean, long or short, does it matter around there?
No one is short, are they, nowadays? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I don't think that bit's... I always thought, really, it was probably a drawer's course.
Oh, OK.
A lot of the holes, you know, 13, 12, 11 were there for a right-to-left shape.
Who's playing?
Where's that list of mine? Oh, here it is, Robert. Henrik Stenson's playing, Justin Rose, Alex Norren. Nice to see him, excuse me, back and playing. South Africans, Brandon Grace will be there. Thomas Peters, the Belgian's there. Another good Belgian, Thomas Detry. He'll be playing there. He's just called Beef. Andrew Johnson, Andrew Beef Johnson is his nickname. He'll be striding the links as well. Tommy Fleetwood, Francesco Molinari, Russell Knox, the Scotsman, plays all of his golf virtually in America. Ross Fisher is coming back to play as well, as is Luke Donald, Martin Keimer and Lee Westwood.
And Ian Poulter getting an invitation after taking care of business in America.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
And the Players
It was great. He was right up against it, thought he'd missed his card. Brian Gay worked out that they hadn't used the right way of counting last year. It was reappraised. They found out he'd made enough money. He got his car back. He finished second at the Players. Everyone was delighted that he sort of took care of what was becoming quite a tricky situation over there. Must mention that Rory was going to play, of course, as well. Everyone was looking forward to that. And then he's just having a nitpicky time with injuries at the minute.
Yeah, as soon as he said he'd got a slight problem with his rib again, I thought, I'm afraid he's going to pull out of the BMW PGA. And that is what happened. I thought it was coming. That didn't surprise me.
Yeah, but it is a shame because there's going to be so many fans there. They'll be looking forward to seeing world number two. However, there are some big players. Henrik Stenson, the Open champion.
Yeah.
He'll be pulling a fair old crowd around with him.
I would think he'll be pulling a good crowd. Also, you know, there's some great players. As I said, you've got Thomas Peters. Who was the other one that I fancied might do well? Tommy Fleetwood, you know, who's right up there in the on the race to Dubai. Four victories now, playing well this season. I think he might go quite close, you know, Tommy Fleetwood.
We talked about earlier
plays
on
well
the show
there as well.
Well, we talked about a drawer. You fancy a drawer to do well around there. He's a natural right to lefter. All right, let's hear from the defending champion Chris Wood, who spoke to us about returning to Wentworth on the Race to Dubai show earlier this month.
I think everyone's really excited to see it. And obviously, like I said, I played with Thomas last week, who has had quite a bit to do with it. Told me a few little things that they've done. Or Paul McGinley tweeted a few pictures as well, and it just looks absolutely perfect. Yeah, almost a few weeks early, but I can't wait to go back and defend.
How hard to defend is it, Richard, for Chris?
It is very difficult. You know, I wouldn't have thought he'll win it again, but you know, there's a fair few things he'll have to do when he comes back as defending champion, but his main concern, obviously, is getting out there and concentrating. It's, you know, how many people defend? Not many, Robert. It happens, you know.
Well, one every year.
No. I have successfully defended.
Oh, very, very, very few.
Very few.
Well, Richard, I'm going to give you two picks because I know you're very excited. It is the first Rolex Series event, the BMW PGA Championship flagship. Get it off to a bang with your two picks. One that you really fancy and one that's slightly hiding under from the glare of the publicity, floodlights.
Well, I don't think they're hiding from the glare. Tommy Fleetwood is my one, who I think will win, and my backup.
He's your banker.
Yeah, and my backup player is going to be Thomas Peters.
Boxall's gone for Thomas Peters, four-pointer at the last Ryder Cup as your backup bet.
Backup bet.
I'm going to counter your Fleetwood and Peters-Tommy combination with Ben Ann, who has won around here in its old guise at Wentworth very recently and has shown a little bit of form as well over the pond. So I'm going to go with Ben Ann as my tip.
And your trailer, your
and
backup?
My backup is going to be a man who just might have a whole stack of confidence after what happened last week, Álvaro Quirós.
Ah, right. I thought you were going to say Ian Poulter then.
No, I'm going to go for Álvaro Quirós. So okay. I'm going for Benan and Álvaro.
He'll be happy as a backup.
Your two Tommies.
Coming off a win last week.
Mm. Oh, not many. And you know, maybe for Álvaro, the release of having that pressure of not knowing where you're playing all of a sudden is going to free him up and he can take it to Wentworth.
Maybe he will, Robert. In 5-6 days' time, all will be revealed.
So we've got Tommy, Álvaro and Benan.
Correct.
Yeah, it's all good. That's it for now. Next week, we'll look back at the action from the inaugural event in the Rolex Series, the BMW PGA Championship from Wentworth. Remember, we're live on course, commentary in all 4 days from Wentworth, available on the europeantour.com website, the European Tour app, and on the TuneIn app as well. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for
Tommy Fleetwood and a backup of Thomas Peters.
Good luck with that, Rich, when you see Thomas Peters on the range. And myself, Robert Lee, backing Ben Ann and Álvaro Quirós. It's goodbye.